everybody. Bill Buckmaster. It is the Buckmaster Show, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Buckmaster on this September 20th, 2016. Hope the week is off to a pretty good start for you. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and all of our podcasts and the complete show archive available at buckmastershow.com. If you would like to join us during the hour, the live line number 790-2040 for your questions and comments, and we invite you to become a friend of ours on Facebook, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Well, former two-term state lawmaker Dr. Matt Hines defeated Victoria Steele in the race that determined the Democrat who will take on Republican Congresswoman Martha McSally in the 2nd Congressional District this November. Dr. Matt Hines captured about 53% of the vote to move on, and he joins us now on the live line. Congratulations, Dr. Hines, on your victory.
Hey, thanks so much, Bill. It's great to be here.
How are you shaping this campaign? I noticed you put out on the email today something about concern over a potential government shutdown. That would seem crazy with an election right around the corner, but you think that might be a possibility?
You know, I really don't put anything past this Congress. And when I was working for a couple of years in the Department of Health and Human Services, I watched and I was kind of horrified to see how they used continuing government services like treating veterans in our hospitals and making sure that Social Security checks went out on time, that they put that secondary to playing politics with, you know, trying to shut down or stop the rollout of the Affordable Care Act, which, of course, it didn't impact at all. So, I don't know. I would hope that they would not want that to happen, but this is just a Congress that is really not working for the people and seems to be really, really disconnected from the reality.
Of course, you're on the front lines in the health profession as a doctor over at TMC. You're worried about that Zika funding. You're worried that it's not even anywhere near what it should be, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another thing that we really shouldn't be using public health, really true threats to public health across multiple states in this country for again, as a political ping pong ball. That's not the way that we're supposed to have our leaders represent us. And Martha McSally, my opponent, has been part of that. And she's, you know, voted against fully funding at the request of the president and the director of the CDC, the $1.9 billion for Zika funding to mitigate those specific type of mosquitoes, not just in Florida, but I'm sure you know that we do indeed have the specific species of mosquito here in southern Arizona as well. And we have several cases of Zika virus that's been identified in Cochise County. So, you know, to vote against funding this, this mitigation, the vector mitigation program, doesn't make any sense at all for Martha McSally or for, frankly, any Republicans.
Congresswoman McSally has taken a very hard line against ISIS and others who are committing terrorism. What's your position on that?
Well, I mean, myself included, I'll be taking a hard line against them as well. And national security is, of course, paramount. And what would be that related to the border so that we know who's coming into the country and if they mean us harm, or in any of our assets across the world, military and otherwise. So, you know, safety of our citizens has to be our first priority. And that's, I don't think that anybody in the Congress, frankly, Democratic or Republican, I would think that they would all be saying pretty much the same thing on that regard.
Let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim is with us, Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Dr. Matt Hines.
Hi, Dr. Hines. How are you today?
Oh, great. What's the question?
Okay, great. Listen, you've always been a proponent of single-payer health. what kind of legislation, what would the legislation that you put forth to create single-payer health, what would that look like?
Hey, thanks for the question. And you are right. For the most part, I have always been a proponent of making sure that all Americans have access to basic medical care, because I do believe that is a right. Now, in terms of what exactly how we do that, it doesn't have to be in a single payer way, though that is certainly one way we could move forward. The Affordable Care Act did allow a lot of folks to get options to get coverage through our existing Medicaid system access here in Arizona, which is covering hundreds of thousands of people more now that they've expanded it under the, of course, leadership of Governor Brewer. That was done, and those marketplaces which allow for public-private options that are available to people across the state, and over 100,000 folks are availing themselves of that option. So I do think that we have to fix some parts of that law. I think that some of those premiums are too high still for families to afford, and some of the other associated ancillary costs with regard to healthcare, those deductibles and out-of-pocket expenses, can be just too burdensome for a lot of our families in this district. So I think we need to work to improve that. And also, I think that prescription drug prices cost way too much, especially for our seniors on fixed incomes. And so I appreciate that the Affordable Care Act lowered to a great degree what seniors can pay, and I would hope that in the future we could kind of hold the pharmaceutical companies' feet to the fire and negotiate prescription drug prices with them directly on behalf of the 50-plus million Medicare beneficiaries, just like we do for our veterans.
What do you see as the big choice? I mean, what is the big issue separating you and Congresswoman McSally? What are you going to be hammering at, so to speak?
Well, Bill, there's so many issues. I think that, first of all, I think the most important one is that just how I'm connected to the community that I would like to serve and that I'm serving as a physician. I don't see that connection reflected in Martha McSally, especially looking at some of her votes. And the fact that I practice medicine, multiple days, of course, in the month, and every day I come into contact with people from all walks of life, you know, a 19-year-old having who needs an appendectomy with no insurance, or a homeless vet possibly living in a wash that coming into the ER that way. We treat and accept everyone, whatever your background is, and of course, folks who are doing much better in the foothills come to the hospital as well for their issues. And I don't just hear from patients about the chest pain from a heart attack, or they might be vomiting blood or something else. I don't just hear about medical issues. Also, when we're talking to our patients, we listen in healthcare, and we hear what else is happening socially, socioeconomically in their world. So I know whose 27-year-olds are sleeping on their living room sofas because they can't find work, or maybe they have two or three part-time jobs instead of that full-time salary job with benefits that they used to have before. So I can really see, as as a healthcare servant for the community, I can actually detect and be connected with the people in a way that I know that she is not. And I say that because I look at some of those votes that she's cast, and in fact, one of her first votes was to actually raise prescription drug prices on Medicare seniors, which was her repeal vote within 30 days of being sworn in, and which would, of course, allow health insurance companies to raise premiums for women just because they're female, and on anyone else with a pre-existing condition. And, lots of those votes, I don't see why taking health care away from people in Southern Arizona would help them economically in any way whatsoever.
Martha McSally has not said who she will vote for president. Is that a mistake?
Well, we've seen what happens. Do you remember Allison Grimes in Kentucky running in 2014? Looked like she was doing real well, and then she was asked, who did you vote for president in 2012? And she said, oh, no, that's my vote. It's a secret. No one gets to know. That went over like a lead balloon. And that partially was kind of the beginning of the end of that campaign. And our own, Ron Barber had this similar incident himself at a forum. He was with Martha McSally. He was asked, did he vote for her? And he also tried to not really respond. And I think that reflecting on that, that's an unwise position. Yes, it is a secret ballot. Yes, that vote is secret. But you are a leader, right? That's what I'm running for. So will it be any surprise to people that I'm going to be voting for Hillary Clinton? No, of course not. She's the standard bearer for the Democratic Party, and that is the party on which I'm running. So that doesn't surprise anyone at all. But I don't know why she won't say she's voting for Trump. Maybe she's not. But I think it's a poor choice on her part, and there should be transparency there. The voters deserve to know.
All right. I think I can work one more call in. Sean, real quickly, your question.
Mr. Hines, you talk about transparency. Why were you removed by your party's leadership from the state legislature? Also, you should respect her and call her Congresswoman McSally. I'll take the question off air.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's not correct information, actually. So I'm not, with regard to my leadership role, I did serve as the whip for one session, and I actually decided to leave that position because of what it was actually doing in terms of preventing me from getting some of my own bills through. But I'm not quite sure what he was talking about. I don't believe I've been disrespectful to my opponent in any way. I've used her full name, so I'm going to continue to referring her as such. But was there a third part of that question?
I think that was two parts. All right. Dr. Matt Hines, where can people find out more about you?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for plugging that. It's Hines for Arizona. That's HEINZFOR Arizona.com. Take a look at the website. I really appreciate it. And again, Bill, it's always great to talk to you.
Thank you, Matt Hines. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Good thing. Have a good one.
All right. Dr. Matt Hines running for Congress, Democrat in CD2. We'll be right back. Shelley Fishman is waiting in the wings. He's with me in studio. Shelley's got a thumbs up. We'll find out how the market is doing after this.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. 5-Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call 5-Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. 5-Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts 5-Star at 886-0045 and 5startermite.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is. Not only is he a financial expert, but he's a very nice guy, and he's got some good news for us. When I look at the Dow and I see green, that
on a Tuesday,
that sure beats red.
It sure does. We're up about 58 points and going in the right direction.
There we go. And this is it's a big day, isn't it?
It is, because tomorrow what we're going to hear from the Fed is whether or not they're going to raise the rate of the overnight fund from 0.25% to 0.5%. 20% of the economists polled think they will and not wait till December, and 80% think they'll wait till December. And I'm in the 20% category, hanging onto that cliff by my fingernails, because I'm definitely in the minority on this one. I do think the Fed needs to do it. I think they'll want to do it before the election.
So you think they'll go ahead and do it?
I do.
And why is it important that they do it?
Well, if the Fed is going to meet its objectives, two objectives, one is full employment and the other is an inflation rate of around 2%, and we're nowhere near that right now, they need to modulate monetary policy, and that's what we're talking about here is monetary policy, in a way that gets close to those objectives. What we've seen over the past couple of weeks is some mitigation, some lessening of the Fed's willingness to actually govern to its long-term objectives. And we're seeing some cutting back of those objectives, which is the kind of fundamental change that you and I have been talking about for the past year. If, in fact, the new objective isn't 2%, but something less than 2%, then they probably wouldn't raise those interest rates right now. If, on the other hand, they're sticking to that 2%, they've got to get there somehow. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to be doing. The other problem, Bill, and this is really critical, is in order to take care of the economy when the economy goes into slumps, as it inevitably does from time to time, they need to have what you and I have joked as quivers in their arrow. But what I really mean is arrows in their quiver. Mm-hmm. They need weapons. And if they're already at zero or nearly 0%,
any left.
There's nothing left for them to do. Now, they could you know, start buying bonds again and quantitative easing, or they could go into negative interest rates. But nobody wants to do that. So they really need to do this. If they wait till after the election, they'll be accused of not wanting to provide this kind of de-stimulus before the election for political reasons. There's also, I think, something that you and I have talked about again in the past. The Fed has its eye on the world. Even though its charge is not to protect the world economy, it does need to recognize that we are in a very commingled world. And so raising rates now would send the right signals to Europe and help the Europeans out. And the Europeans right now, especially the central bank, does need some help with the United States kind of showing that toughness is important.
So many investors are invested in mutual funds. It's almost like an iconic product, isn't it?
It is, and has been since mutual funds came into existence in the 30s.
They're that? I didn't realize it. In the 30s?
Yeah. It's part of the New Deal legislation and the reforms to prevent the stock market from tanking as it did in 1929 was to find ways of increasing the participation in the stock market and investments from for most Americans. One way to do that was mutual funds, was investment products such as mutual funds. And there was a whole legislative arena around this. And from that point on, Americans were able to invest not by investing in single stocks, but investing in buckets of stocks. And the way mutual funds work is each fund has a strategy. They have an objective, and they have managers who manage to that strategy. When you buy a share in a mutual fund, you are buying a brand new share that fund issues just for you. And that's why those funds are called open-ended funds, because there's no value of the fund that's fixed. It varies every day based upon the value of the stocks in the bucket, but also the number of investors who buy new shares or sell shares back. That's why when you invest in a mutual fund, you have to get a prospectus from that mutual fund, because it's a brand new share, and the Paper Act says you have to get a prospectus when you invest in a new share.
Then we have something called exchange-traded funds,
right,
which a lot of people are passing up the mutual funds and going to the ETFs. What's the advantage?
So back around the turn of the century, in 2001, a whole new class of funds came into being that were called closed-ended funds. And a closed-ended fund works like the stock in a company, where they'll take an amount of money that funds the fund, let's say $100 million, they'll set an objective. Let's say we're going to track the performance of the S&P 500. And they do an initial public offering for that $100 million worth of shares. And then that stock, that fund, gets traded on an exchange. Normally, it's the American exchange. So that when you buy a share of that ETF or that closed-ended fund, you're not buying it from the fund. You're buying it from somebody who is selling it.
Hmm.
So they trade just like stocks. The advantage is that they're a little bit more liquid, or at least that's the hope, because they will trade in the moment rather than at the end of the day, the way open-ended funds trade. But also, because ETFs or closed-ended funds, when they first were invented and those products were brought to market, they tracked indices. So you'd have funds that tracked the S&P 500, or funds that tracked the Dow Jones average, or funds that tracked an international average. But it was indexes that were tracked. And so the managers of those funds didn't have to do a lot of work to track the index because they knew exactly what the index was. They weren't trying to beat the index. They couldn't beat the index. They were the index. So that the cost, the management cost in those funds was far less than the cost in typical mutual funds. And that became very, very attractive for investors who wanted the liquidity and also wanted the lower cost. It, you know, that cost difference could be as much as 0.75 points or even a full point. Over the course of, say, a 40-year working career, a point a year is a lot of money. And so in investment advisors such as myself kind of glommed on to this idea that closed-ended funds and ETFs, which were kind of a modification of that, were really good ways of having investors be very diversified, having big buckets of stuff at a very low cost.
And being very cost-conscious,
being very cost-conscious.
So it sounds like you like them.
Oh, I love them. And now what's happening, of course, ETFs are getting a lot more creative. And now we're seeing ETFs that are very, very managed. And they're a little bit more expensive. But they're still traded on exchanges. You got to be careful. You got to make sure that there's enough shares out there so that if you, you know, call your broker at 9 o'clock in the morning and you want to sell, there'll be something there. You know, there'll be a buyer available. But most of these funds are large enough, so that's not much of a problem.
Shelly Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. We can get a hold of you by going to BuckmasterShow.com, and the link is there. Give Shelly a call. He does return his calls very promptly, and he's also very easy to work with. Thanks, Shelly. Have a great week.
Okay, you too, Bill.
Be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelly Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelly can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shellyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Senator John McCain. Plus, we talk with two of the original eight Biospherians on this, the 25th anniversary of the Biosphere 2 experiment. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, and we're live streaming our show, KVOI.com, BuckmasterShow.com. This portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Someone is always in the market for a good weekend. I know that. Bottom line, right? We're thinking about the weekend. It's Tuesday. How about 3 hours over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? It's a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. The nutrition reporter Jack Chalom is with me today, and Jack has actually lived in New Mexico for a time, and he's done quite a bit of his fine art photography in New Mexico. You love Silver City.
It's a great area. It's a great state. And if I was drawing the map all over again, I'd probably make Arizona and New Mexico one state.
One state. What would you call it?
I was afraid you'd ask that. I'm not quite sure.
How about just enchantment?
That would probably work.
But anyway, a lot to do over there. And you've got the Gila National Wilderness. You have Pinos Altos, neat little mining ghost town that still thrives. And the elevation there is 7,000 feet. I think my favorite time of year in New Mexico is like my favorite time of year in Arizona, is the autumn right now, when things are really very pretty. A lot of, at the higher elevation, some of the aspens starting to turn color. So it's a great place to visit. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website, which lists the many, many things to do, the many recreation activities, places to recreate, and places to stay, all at southwestnewmexico.org. The nutrition reporter is Jack Chalom, and he appears monthly on the Buckmaster Show. Jack edits and publishes The Nutrition Reporter, an independent newsletter that reports on vitamin, mineral, and food therapies, and it always contains a wealth of good nutrition-related material. And Jack, before we get into the current issue, the September issue, there was some in the nutrition community. This was almost a bombshell, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it started with a report in one of the AMA's top journals called JAMA Internal Medicine. This was published about 2 weeks ago, and the next day and the day after, most newspapers covered this. Basically, three scientists had access to some of the communications going back to the 1960s between the Sugar Foundation, you know, basically a research group.
Kind of the trade association for sugar.
Yeah.
The sugar people.
Yeah, it's really a lobbying organization. Yeah. And what they did find was a concerted effort. And you know, this was back when people wrote letters to influence what was going on in science. And the start of it was an article in the New England Journal of Medicine that basically shifted the attention away from sugar. You know, they wanted to maintain their profits for the industry to fat.
Take the heat off of the sugar producers.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And then so shift it over to fat's bad for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so basically people got snookered. That's the polite way of describing this. And so everyone jumped on the low-fat bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a food company like Kraft and you're taking the fat out, what do you replace it with to maintain the taste? Sugar and other refined carbohydrates like refined wheat and things like that. And then on top of that, you know, as people became more and more alarmed about dietary fat, came this whole push for cholesterol-lowering drugs.
Right, right.
Well, the non sequitur there is cholesterol isn't a fat-related issue for most people. It's a sugar and refined carbohydrate issue. And so if you're consuming a lot of sugars, your cholesterol is going to go up unless you're exercising like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the research linking sugar, added sugars, you know, we're talking soft drinks and, you know, other processed foods to which sugar is added, really goes back to the 1950s. And back in 1977, I was lucky enough to spend time with a British doctor who was really one of the key people who found that sugar really, you know, you could draw a straight line from sugar to diabetes to heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he was torpedoed. Professionally. He still did his research. He came out with a great book about 1976-77 called Sweet and Dangerous.
So he was very much ahead of his time, but the industry really gave him a very difficult time.
Yeah, and the industry did this very quietly by using paid off researchers as their front men.
To discredit this individual.
And they did the same thing with Dr. Robert Atkins, who I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Atkins came out with his diet, people said, oh, all that fat's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And Atkins said, it's not the fat, it's the sugar and the refined carbohydrates. And again, so because of lobbyists paying off scientists, there was this enormous dietary pivot saying fat of all kinds was bad, sugar was okay. I mean, they even went to the point of ridiculousness by saying sugar really didn't play a big role in dental cavities.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, everyone
I'll tell knows. That to my dentist when I go on Thursday.
basically everyone got snookered. And are there bad fats? Yeah, but they're synthetic man-made fats like trans fats and interesterified fats, which if you go to a supermarket and you look at some of the baked items, it'll show up as palm oil or palm kernel oil. And you know, the interesterified fats are the replacement for trans fats, except they're more dangerous. Does saturated fat have any real effect for the vast majority of people? No. basically the whole sugar industry created this fat phobia. And we're still living with it.
790-2040, if you would like to join in our conversation with Jack Challum. Jack is the author of, he's been writing about, well, you've been writing about, you mentioned diabetes, and you've written about the inflammation syndrome, a book called No More Fatigue, and you were writing about diabetes and the sugar connection a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. What one of the books is Stop Pre-Diabetes mm-hmm. Now.
Which is a huge epidemic.
Yeah, yeah. You know, 2 out of 3 Americans are overweight or obese, and something like 100 million Americans have pre-diabetes. Another 30 million have full-blown type 2 diabetes. All of this, you know, if you follow the money, it really goes back to the sugar industry.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation with Jack Challum. Jack is the nutrition reporter. That is his trademarked name. Let's go to Ingrid. Hey, Ingrid, how are you today? Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, doctor. I hope that I'm not going to ask something that's out of the range of this conversation. But is sugar involved in the functioning of the brain? And also, is it true that people, as they produce alcohol, the body produces alcohol, does the human body also produce its own cholesterol? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
One of the first effects of sugar is on the brain, and if your blood sugar is too low, you tend to get jittery and irritable, and if it's too high, you tend to get sleepy. And I often tell people, you know, this is kind of like the first sign of, you know, sugar or carbohydrate intolerance. You know, the solution I should sort of sneak in here is really about having more protein, more veggies, foods that stabilize blood sugar instead of prompt it to just kind of like bounce around or just go up and down like a roller coaster.
She also mentioned the body producing its own cholesterol.
Yeah, yeah, and that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Cholesterol is an essential component in our health, and the liver will make cholesterol, assuming it's got enough of the building blocks. I'll give you an example. People can make their own vitamin D, and when they're exposed to sunlight.
Yes.
And they make it from a form of cholesterol that is in the skin.
Huh.
And so when the sunlight hits this type of cholesterol, it basically triggers a number of chemical reactions that lead up to vitamin D production.
All right. It is time for the break, but I do want to work Len in so you don't need to sit through the break. Len, go ahead. What's your question?
Great. I'm a type 2 diabetic. Great conversation that you're having. I take a lot of vitamins, and I take also cholesterol medication. Just stay away from the sugar, right? Don't eat the processed foods that contain sugar.
That's a great first step, or absolutely minimize foods with added sugars. I would additionally say stay away from potatoes because they have an effect on blood sugar that's worse than an ice cream cone.
Wow.
Okay, I run 7 miles a day and about 5 times a week, and I get plenty of exercise, and I think that helps keep everything down. And I'm concerned about the cholesterol medication, though. After taking it for a couple, 3 years, if the cholesterol is down, do you need to continue it?
Well, if you're basically following the standard idea, it would
right.
be yes. But with that degree of exercise, I suspect you could talk with your doctor in terms of tapering off the medication.
Yeah, have a discussion with your doctor about that, Len, because...
All right, thank you so much.
With all the exercise you're doing, my goodness, tell the doctor, I'm doing 7 miles a day. Do I still need the cholesterol-lowering medication? Anyway, take a break right here. Robert, you'll be next when we come back. Good conversation today, very important topic with Jack Chalom. Let's take a break on Buckmaster. Be right back. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Up this Saturday at 10 o'clock over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. It's winter vegetable time already, and they'll have some great information at a workshop that is free at Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com has all the information about their weekend workshop Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Check it out. Green Things. Jan and Jack over there have just done a beautiful job with their property at Green Things on 13 acres. Jack Chalom is with us, the nutrition reporter. We're having a very good discussion about fat, and we're also talking about about sugar. Lauren is up first with Jack Chalom. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. I'll try to keep it brief. My ears perked up when you mentioned the palm oil, or I'm not sure what you said, palm oil derivative, and that was that the idea that to refocus or redirect attention or chemistry away from these trans fats, which are evil words or ugly words in our vocabulary. And let me give a quick aside. My mother and lots of other mothers, I guess, through the 50s and 60s were cooking our food in Crisco. I saw Crisco in the marketplace recently, and I went, how can that be?
Okay, thanks, Lauren.
Yeah, great question. Yes, trans fats are no longer regarded as safe by the FDA, so companies are basically phasing them out, and they've got another year or two to phase them out. The replacement was developed by a huge agriculture company called Archer Daniel Midwinds, and it's known as interesterified fat. And basically pretty much everyone now knows how bad trans fats are, but interesterified fats are below the radar. It's going to take the FDA years to catch up. And, you know, just looking around in supermarkets and at Costco, the packages don't usually list interesterified fats. The code word, so to speak, is either palm oil or palm kernel oil. Mm. Now, part of this is the context of supermarkets and the big block stores like Costco and Walmart and Sam's Club. If you go into a natural food store like Natural Grocers here in town, you'll probably see some products with palm oil, but this is a pure, unrefined palm oil. What the supermarkets are using, thanks to Archer Daniels Midwin, is something that has been heavily processed. The whole molecular structure has been changed. It's basically taking a vegetable oil and turning it into a saturated fat. I mean, we're talking industrial scale chemistry here to do that.
All right, we've got a couple more questions on the live line, Jack. And also, if people don't want to take a prescription drug for cholesterol, are there some natural supplements that you recommend?
Yeah, number one is something called phytosterols, which basically means plant sterols.
Phyto?
Phyto, P-H-Y-T-O.
Right. Not like Fido the dog.
No, not like Fido the dog.
Okay.
And these work almost as well as the drug. The fellow who called in a little bit ago, who's running 7 miles a day,
yes, yeah,
he probably doesn't need to be on this drug. But anyone who is should be taking a vitamin-like supplement called coenzyme Q10. And the reason is the statin-type drugs interfere with the body's own production of CoQ10, and that accounts for most of the side effects of
the
statins.
Got about 3 minutes on the show. We're going to get both these questions in on the live line. Robert, go ahead. You're first.
Hey, thanks. Doctors will not talk about vitamin supplements. Their excuse is the FDA hasn't approved or researched them, but they don't get paid to recommend a vitamin supplement. Now, my blood work came back that I was low in vitamin D, which is pretty hard to believe because I work outside all day.
Wow.
So I do take a vitamin D supplement, but I also take a multivitamin for 50 years plus and fish oil. Am I wasting my time on those two?
I would say you're not wasting your time, and those three supplements would be the top of my list, multivitamin D and fish oils for anyone to take.
All right. Mark is next on our show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, well, great news is you kind of answered my question before I even asked it here. That was great. So we're going to look into that. But what we were discussing amongst our family here was whether or not these cholesterol drugs are worse than the cholesterol. And I have to say that as a, on a personal note, I have corrected memory losses and memory errors on all the people I know who are on these cholesterol drugs, and it just doesn't sound like it's good for the brain.
Mm. No, it's not. Again, it interferes with this the body's production of this vitamin-like substance called coenzyme Q10. And the key role of CoQ10, that's how it's abbreviated, really goes back to the 1978 Nobel Prize in Chemistry. And it's involved in the production of cell energy. And the two organs that need energy the most, your heart and your brain.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen so many people really get sick and die from taking statins. These are among the most dangerous drugs out there.
Of course, that's your opinion, and people should check with their doctor.
Yes, right? Yes. And but you know, if they're having a bad reaction mm-hmm. to a drug, they've got to really put their foot down and tell the doctor, hey, this is really causing me a lot of problems.
All right. Jack Chalom, where can people find the Nutrition Reporter?
NutritionReporter.com.
Yeah, and we didn't get a chance to get into September. The lead story is about wheat sensitivity, and many people do find that a real problem, and apparently the research backs it up, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and let's talk about that next time.
We shall. And Jack, thank you very much. A very good conversation. Thanks to everybody that called. It's an important topic, and glad we could shed some light on it. Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw is the host. Ray Allen is the engineer-producer. The two of them put together a fine program. Tomorrow morning, we do three, 6 to 9 with Wake Up Tucson. Then we do the Buckmaster Show at 12:04. So put it all together, if my math is correct, we do 5 hours daily, Monday through Friday of local talk. And of course, weekends, tremendous amount of local talk. Anyway, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.